Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking home improvement on the show and focusing a bit on the need for more skilled workers in the trades, especially construction. Chad Spate, one of our guests, back with us. He's the owner of Chad's Design Build. Chad, good to have you back.
Thanks, Larry. Great to be in the studio.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. It's also nice to have Alan Branch with us as well, the inaugural Vice President of Workforce Development for Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. Alan, good to have you with us.
Great to be here as well.
And finally, Chad Lawler. Chad is the Executive Director of the Madison Area Builders Association. Chad, great to have you with us as
well. Thanks so much for having me, Larry.
Well, as we talk with these three guys, I hope you'll join in with your own questions. Maybe you have some questions about introducing more young people to the trades, or maybe you've got an experience to share. Maybe you have a home improvement question. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Chad Spate, let's start with you. Before we begin talking about this new partnership, how big a problem is the lack of skilled trades for people in your business?
Well, Larry, it's really been an ongoing problem for, 10 years, I would say, and every year it gets harder to find young people mm-hmm. who are wanting to make a career in the construction industry. And the funny thing about it, because I'm college educated, I was a school teacher for a while, and I would have never dreamt that, when I was a young person that I would end up being a remodeling contractor. And, I used to do it all back in the 90s and into the early aughts, swinging the hammer and you name it. But it is a great career, a very fulfilling career. And every day you get to look at what you've accomplished.
Yeah.
And no matter what it is that you're doing. And so I just love it. And I try to share that enthusiasm. And not only is it a rewarding career psychologically, but it's a great living that you can make. As a skilled tradesperson. So, we're just trying to get the word out because, I'm lucky. I've got a tremendous staff. And but when we are down one carpenter, it is so difficult to.
And what does that mean for the homeowners and businesses that need the work done if you don't have?
Well, it takes a lot longer to accomplish the task. And, right now we're busier than we've ever been. We're, completely booked mm-hmm. out for this year. We probably have enough projects in planning to get us into, mid-2024 right now.
Boy.
And, if I could hire more carpenters, we could actually deliver that work at a faster pace. And I think that's true across the industry.
Yeah. Chad Lawler, let's talk with you for a minute. How's this shortage been affecting other members of the Madison Area Builders Association? Kind of same kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of the same concept. We have 420-ish members in our local association, and many of the builders specifically tell us that they could build twice as many houses if they actually had the workforce to do it. And just to give some context, in the next 3 years, we need to add 2.2 million more people to the workforce in construction-related jobs. And currently, there's 400,000 open posted jobs in the construction industry nationwide. And just to give you a comparison, pre-pandemic, that was under 200,000. So the issue that Chad was talking about earlier about being a decade, 15 years in the making, it's now exasperated comparably to what it was even just 2-3 years ago.
So from your perspective, why aren't there more people wanting to get into? This is a high-paying field. We're not talking about peanuts here.
Right. Yeah. You consider that you could walk into a career making $40,000 to $50,000 with nothing more than a high school education, and even without a high school education, in many cases. I think it's an awareness issue. We haven't focused on the skilled trades. It's been more of a focus on college. And, you know, I'll just start by saying that we're not opposed to that route, too, because there's many jobs within the industry that will require a college education. But there's many skilled trades positions, roles that don't actually require that education. But really, it hasn't been promoted in a way within the schools and within our community that demystifies the swinging the hammer type of job.
Yeah. Alan, how did the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County get involved in helping to find new skilled workers?
Well, in this program, it's pretty much the relationship that we have with the Madison Area Builders Association. And with our experience working with youth. I mean, that's what we do. A lot of people don't know how successful we are with our college preparatory program, Avid Tops.
Mm-hmm.
And we think this is going to be a parallel to that in our partnership with Madison Area Builders Association in bringing the awareness, to these jobs, to these career opportunities. I mean, you think about it, when you look at the ages between 18 to 24 in our nation, unemployment rate is 16.8%.
Wow.
And in right here at home where we live is 13%, not far from the national average. And these are families of the kids, that are at Boys and Girls Clubs. So we see this as a great opportunity to give them another path of consideration. They're family-sustaining jobs, great careers, and we want to be a big part of making those opportunities available to our youth.
It sounds like such a great idea. Are other clubs getting involved in this as well?
Yes, they are. what has started here in Madison with Chad's organization, the Madison Area Builders Association, is now going national. And I think Chad can probably speak better to that, as being a part of that association. But there are 11 pilots now, because there's a Boys and Girls Club and a Builders Association, throughout the country. So there are going to be 11, or I would say 10 additional. I wouldn't consider us a pilot. We're a little further on than most of the other Boys and Girls Clubs and Builders Associations around the country. But they're going to be following our lead. We'll be sharing knowledge and information on how they can do it. And it's just something to be proud of that this happened right here in Madison.
So tell us about the McKenzie Regional Workforce Center.
Well, the McKenzie Regional Workforce Center is going to be the platform for which we are able to bring this resource, this training to youth in our community. The Madison Area Builders Association will be our anchor partner, as Chad mentioned. They have 400 plus membership prospective employers for our youth who are successful in this program. And I know there's workforce programs throughout the region, but I think what will differentiate the McKenzie Regional Workforce Center is our focus on the middle school. At Boys and Girls Clubs, we start as early as 2 and 3 years old, all the way through K-12. And that's where I think when Chad talks about the need for awareness, we think we can start building that awareness early in the fifth grade, the sixth grade, the seventh grade, so that by the time they get to high school, when they're talking about youth apprenticeships, they'll be more familiar with the opportunity.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Dennis in Two Rivers has a comment. Maybe let's go to Dennis. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I was just wondering what your input is on how likely it is there's a shortage of people to do home repair. So if a storm hits, people might be more susceptible to giving into a fraudulent storm chaser because they figure, hey, somebody's finally here to save my building.
Yeah. Chad Lawler, comment?
Well, obviously we would hope that everybody's on the up and up who's in the industry, but we do know there's bad actors. And obviously with less people out there, more delays in the process, it's more likely that you're going to, come to those. But what I would suggest, look to your community. See if there's a home builders association, if there's a member of NARI, the National Association of Remodeling Industry, because usually those are vetted individuals. There's at least some process to hiring an individual to be in a member. So look to those type of associations. Look to your local chambers. Those are going to be the companies and individuals that will be the safe bet. But obviously, yeah, with the lack of workforce out there, you'll find people who are, you know, coming from other states, just trying to, you know, follow the hail storms, the damage and stuff like that. So, but just be diligent, use the resources that are there and those associations that, you know, have some credibility and vet their members are a great key to that.
Yeah. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. And we do have a call coming up from Jody, and we'll get to Jody in just a minute. But the curriculum, is this a pretty broad curriculum that we you know what? Jody in Downing has a question that relates to that. So let's go there. Jody, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm involved as a volunteer with the Afghan Refugee Resettlement, and there's so many people coming in. And, you know, I just wondered, a person like that doesn't have the skill set, where would they start to get into the building field?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, one of the ways that we look at it, and a lot of our members will tell you, they're just looking for an individual who has the soft skills that will lead to success down the road. You don't necessarily need the skills of a carpenter or of a, you know, a 10-year veteran. They're looking for people who are willing to show up on time, that regardless of the weather conditions will be there, just that dependability and that willingness to learn. So my suggestion would be to reach out to local companies, reach out to local associations that deal with residential construction, remodeling, or commercial work, depending on their interest level. And they will most certainly help you get the right resources. And obviously the Department of Labor, Department of Workforce Development has other programs too. So just kind of look into those. And obviously, eventually I'll tell you to go to the Boys and Girls Club once it's in your area. So,
and what's the curriculum like, Alan? Let's turn back to you for that workforce center.
So it'll be initially focusing on younger youth, as I mentioned, for awareness, where we can start with them early, get them familiar with the trades, as Chad said, those soft skills. Working with a team, you know, being a part of a team, showing up on time, understanding that, you know, you might work out in 90 degrees days, and some days it might be cold. So we want to get them acclimated to, you know, the requirements of the trades. And then as they progress through the program, once they started getting into the high school area, then the programming will become more specific. To try to lead them and help them decide. To us, we just want them to make a decision. There will be three different pathways. They can leave our program and go directly into work. They can possibly go to a university or college and pursue an apprenticeship program through that. Or just look at another career in the trades, whether it's accounting, finance. There's other opportunities in the trades field where they might not have to go out into the field. So the program is going to initially introduce them to it and then help them decide pathways and different traits, careers that might resonate with them that they can pursue.
Yeah. You were going to add something Chad Lawler?
Yeah. So I think one of the things, too, that's important to bring up, too, is we had an individual who's a donor to the Boys and Girls Club, John McKenzie and his family, who really was the spark to this idea. And what's really important to them and is a component of our programming is we're not going to only teach the skills of the soft skills or general skills of carpentry, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, and beyond, but we're also going to be teaching these kids financial literacy as well as entrepreneurship. Because you look at the opportunities, if an individual goes into the trades at about the age of 38, they meet the same financial threshold as somebody who potentially went into a college program, completed it. But at that age, that's when many individuals in the trades become entrepreneurs, and then they outpace their counterparts again. So we want to make sure they have the foundation and the basis, not only financially to understand this new income and how to save, what compound interest does, but when they get to that point where they're ready and they feel comfortable with their skills to open their own business, that they'll have some of those skills available for them also.
Taking a look at the trades today, career opportunities within the home improvement and the home industry and the building trades with our three guests, Alan Branch, who is inaugural Vice President of Workforce Development for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County, Chad Lawler, Executive Director of the Madison Area Builders Association, and Chad Spade, owner of Chad's Design Build. You can join in at 800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at home improvement career opportunities on the show today, and we'll be taking some home improvement questions as well with our guest, Chad Spade, owner of Chad's Design Build, Chad Lawler, Executive Director of the Madison Area Builders Association, and Alan Branch, who is inaugural Vice President of Workforce Development for Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. So questions or comments, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Let's turn to Brian in Menominee next. Brian, thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to, I work for a major contractor in Wisconsin here, and I see we work with the high school too in getting kids into the trades, and I think a lot of people fail to forget that when they come out of school and you know, they learn their trade, they're not locked into that trade forever. You know, they can, and like in our company, you're not a plumber for life or a carpenter. You can move up into a project management and things like that. And I think a lot of kids forget that. They think they're going to be a plumber for their lifetime, you know. And there's a lot of great opportunities.
Yeah. Well, Brian, thanks a lot. Chad Spade?
Yeah, that's a great point, Brian. Thank you for the call. I can give the example in my own company. I have one of my project developers and estimators, Kevin Collum. He started out in the Madison College remodeling and construction program and worked for a few years at a home builder. I hired him as a carpenter. He became a lead carpenter, one of our supervising carpenters, and then eventually a manager in our company. And so, you know, those sorts of opportunities are absolutely there, it's important to remember that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chad Lawler.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Brian, first, thanks for being in the industry and being an advocate, especially working within the schools, because I think that's the big thing that's been missing that we talked about kind of earlier is there's a disconnect between the opportunities that are out there and the awareness within the schools, especially over the last 20 years or so. Thankfully, we've seen in a lot of schools that they've started to reintroduce skilled trades or shop classes, but still not at the level. And when you take 20 years off from something, it puts a little bit of a deficit in there, and it creates myths about what the industry is and what limitations are there. And so Brian, I think, brought up a great one that, you know, you're just stuck in that role. But that's, you know, that's one of the myths that we're trying to demystify through this program and other awareness campaigns.
Yeah. Brian, thanks again. Appreciate it. Pete in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Pete.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that no, that's you're all correct. That, you know, if you're not planning on going to college or whatever your situation may be, you have the potential to make an excellent living skill trades.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to do when I was younger. I dropped out of high school. I went the trade route, and you know, I make six figures a year now, and. You know, the sky's the limit, really. There's plenty of opportunity to advance beyond, you know, just being a worker.
Yeah. Well, Pete, thanks a lot. So here he is making six figures.
Yeah, and the positive to that is Pete is not an outlier. It's something that if you find the right track, you find the right opportunities. We always talk about it as an example of what you could do. If you go into an apprenticeship program, it's conceivable 5 years out or 5 years into the program that you could be making six figures. So consider that as a 23, 24-year-old young woman, young man, and you're having that opportunity to make significant money without those educational debts attached to it. So there's great opportunities, and I think, you know, Pete provides another kind of idea too. Like, he didn't graduate high school. That doesn't preclude you from this industry. And really, any interest that you have, too, doesn't preclude you from this industry. We had an event where I asked all the kids who came to it, are you interested in working inside, outside, computers, not computers, working with your hands? And after they all raised their hands a couple different times, I said, great news. You're all hired because you can all fit within the construction industry in your own way. So I think it's a very open opportunity for anybody, regardless of your interest and regardless if you completed your high school education, if you did, or if you had advanced studies as well. So it's open to everybody.
Matt in Oconomowoc, we'll give you a chance to join in. Matt, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I was listening to your show down here working on a construction site. I'm an operating engineer, and the operating engineers, Local 139 of Wisconsin, are actually in the high schools right now, in certain high schools, teaching, and you get credits in high school to become an apprenticeship, if you want, you know, through the operating engineers, heavy equipment operators. And like your other guest said, that you can make very good money just, you know, after 4 years. You have instant insurance. You have really good retirement. We actually have a pension plan, which is kind of unheard of nowadays, which is really good health insurance. It's just people don't realize on how much money they can make, and you actually see what you're doing, like in the construction trade. You're building a house. You're moving dirt. You're building roads and all that stuff. And it's a good accomplishment. Let's put it that way.
Matt, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
I'd like to add something to that if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because one thing that a lot of people don't consider as well, and like I said, we have a very successful college preparatory program at the Boys and Girls Club. So I am not saying that everyone should abandon going to college.
Yeah.
But you can start out with a family-sustaining wage debt-free, practically debt-free.
Yeah.
And actually, the operating engineers we've been working with, 139, we've actually gone to their Coloma location to see their facilities.
I'll be there Friday. Yeah.
And we're actually going to be housing simulators within the McKenzie Regional Workforce Center to teach kids. And we're looking to partner to maybe provide an additional instructor for some of the online academy that the operating engineers have. Because one of their things is capacity of instructors to expand upon additional growth in certain areas. So while we can't have a bulldozer or other earth-moving equipment within our facility, we can definitely, you know, next best thing, having those simulators.
That's great. I was thinking back to my pre-college and college days where I worked for a construction company and pretty much paid for my college education. because even back then, which is a while back, it was a lot better pay than I was going to be making in many other places. So. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You can join in, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So is this going to work as part of regular school classes? Alan, you want to talk about that?
Well, the curriculum, there would be a variety of different opportunities for the kids to be involved in the training. Some of it will be opportunities during the school day, and some of them would be classes at night. We are in the process of developing what the actual curriculum would look like, what opportunities would be available for the kids, working in collaboration with the school districts to provide those trainings. So our goal is to have that completely mapped out. We are working with a committee, a programming committee that's a partnership with the school districts, with the business community. We're not trying to do this in a bubble. We're not trying to do this ourselves. We're going to bring the stakeholders to the table that has the expertise that enables us to map out a curriculum that the business community will respect, for that the kids that complete our program will actually get jobs.
Yeah, and of course that's the end. That's what you want at the end.
Yes.
The training for that. Well, Nancy in Delmont has a question, so let's go there. Nancy, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I always enjoy your show. What I would like the guests today to talk about a little bit is if and how they might be making skilled trades more accessible to women.
Mm. Yeah, and that's a great thing to bring up, too, because we look at representation of women within the industry, and we're up to 10%, but only 1% is actually on the job sites. So the other is management, administration, other non-job site work. And that's one of the things that this program is going to focus on, not only bringing in youth of color, but bringing in women into the industry. So part of it is an awareness campaign to let young girls as well as young boys understand that these opportunities are available for anybody, not just, you know, a white male or anybody else. And, you know, it's everybody's demographic will fit for this. So just providing the awareness, letting them know it is an opportunity, and giving those hands-on opportunities to get out there and do things and show their skills.
Yeah, and I think it's probably, I bet as part of the education and training, you're going to have women involved. Hopefully, we'll be able to have women involved as part of the training or part of the trainers.
Yes.
Actually, the assistant vice president for the Boys and Girls Club, workforce development, Stephanie, is obviously she's a female who's been in the industry, and she'll definitely lead that focus for us and ensures that. We want the instructors, the mentors, to also have the same representation. So we want women to be our instructors, to be the mentors, similar to people of color. So representation is a strong thing that the Boys and Girls Club focus on, and this program will be no different than that.
And we've seen that again with our Avitops program. I mean, the chancellor at UW, Madison, mentioned this year, this freshman class year, because of the Avitops program and our relationship with the school districts, this was the largest freshman class of color this year in the history at UW-Madison. So we see that being the same thing with this program to help diversify the trades industry here in Madison and the surrounding area as well.
Well, Nancy, thanks a lot for that question and comment. Let's go to Erica in Mercer. Erica, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. It still is. I thought I'd throw my oar in the water about truck driving. I'm 68 years old, and I'm having an awful time retiring because they can't find any help. And I haul propane all over this part of Wisconsin, and finding good help is even harder than finding any help. But, you know, some training for kids that, you know, operating and running trucks would be a cool thing.
Thank you, Eric, for calling. Chad Lawler, a comment?
Yeah, so I know in many different areas around the country, there's a natural synergy between the skills that are gained with the construction industry, as well as manufacturing and trucking. There's actually a program in South Carolina called BeProBeProudSC.com is their website. And it's actually a semi-truck that goes around to elementary schools, has virtual reality and simulations inside the truck that will teach kids about the opportunities. You won't be able to figure out how to do anything from it. They're more games, but they're they're focused on elementary, but it focuses on manufacturing, construction, and trucking. And that's one of the things that we're actually looking and hoping that in this next biennium budget, that might be something that the governor and the legislature looks into. So, you know, we're always looking for partnerships and different opportunities to grow and expand what we're working on. Obviously, we got to start someplace and then expand, but those are opportunities out there that we see around the country that we're going to try to bring to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, as you know, thinking about all these groups that are involved in this effort, the money's got to come from somewhere. It sounds like it's coming from a number of different sources, mm-hmm. Alan.
Yes. We've been primarily in what we would call a quiet phase mm-hmm. of a capital campaign, mm-hmm. But we are poised to go public this month on May 20th. So we are looking forward to that, providing everyone in our community opportunity to learn and contribute. This is going to be legacy work. I really do believe that. And everyone in this community will benefit from it, from the success that our youth have in changing their lives, being able to achieve family sustainable wages, makes our whole community better. It makes us all
absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely.
So this is something that we're all going to be proud of. And on May 20th, we'll go public with it and we'll give everyone the opportunity to support it, whether it be $5, $10, $100. Every little bit counts in making this program a success.
Yeah. Larry, to give you kind of an idea of the scope of the Yeah. fundraising that we're doing, it's a $35 million fundraising goal that we currently have. And currently, to date, after 9 months, this kind of shows the energy from the community. We've raised $24.3 million
wow.
already. Mm-hmm. And about 98% of that is private donations.
Mm-hmm.
We've got very little government assistance to date. There's some grants out there, obviously, that we're hoping that will change that dynamic. But it just shows you how much interest and acknowledgement there is from the community to know that this program through the Boys and Girls Club is really something that they can put their resources behind. And it's not just the construction industry. It's individuals who see a need for diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's individuals who see this as a way for community growth, for Black home ownership, for a bunch of different societal needs that the program, we think, can be very beneficial to a myriad of groups. So,
and I might add, Larry, we still have $11 million left to raise. So if there's anybody out there that wants to contribute to that, you're more than welcome.
Oh, man. Barry in Viroqua has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is. You know, what these guys are talking about is absolutely incredible. It's something that we've needed for, I don't know, what, 75 years?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'd like to do is to expand what you're talking about to where we have a responsibility. And I say this to all your listeners out there. This is the kind of thing that public schools and business communities ought to be doing in a very formalized way. We have a lot of kids in schools that learn by doing. They're hands-on learners, and yet we have very little opportunity for them to learn through hands-on learners other than the occasional shop class. And they get very frustrated, and they don't develop oftentimes the confidence and the soft skills that you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
That's a great point, and Barry, thanks for the call. I just want to say that for me personally, when I was in seventh grade, I got involved in theater, and I was building sets, and that was literally the first time that I had formal instruction in constructing something. Mm. And then, of course, I've leveraged that into a career, but so it's, you know, it's not just having shop classes, which are very important and certainly a great thing that need to come back into our schools with intention. But there are many ways to allow students to get involved and get their hands on things and create. And so that's a great call. Thank you for that.
Yeah, Barry, thank you so much for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Talking today with Ellen Branch, who's the inaugural Vice President of Workforce Development for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County, also with Chad Lawler, who's the Executive Director of the Madison Area Builders Association, and of course Chad Spate comes by every couple of months, and he is the owner of Chad's Design Build. Again, the number 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here taking a look at home improvement career opportunities with our three guests, Chad Spate of Chad's Design Build, Chad Lawler, Executive Director of the Madison Area Builders Association, and Ellen Branch. Ellen is the inaugural Vice President of Workforce Development for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. As we talk with them about the great program to get young people involved in the trades. And we've got the McKenzie Regional Workforce Center we've been talking a bit about. And certainly looking forward to hearing from you. You have a question or a comment, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Questions or experiences to share? Love to hear from you. Jerry in Berlin, we'll go to you next. Hi, Jerry. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm a retired superintendent of schools and had to work with the finances. And one of the things you'll find is that the hands-on training is much more expensive than, say, an English class or social studies class because it's for safety purposes, usually tech ed or hands-on classes are limited to 20 students just for safety. And then there's the additional equipment that's required, the difficulty of finding trained staff in those fields. And it's just a matter of economics that the schools are being strangled, if you will, to provide some of those services. I did have yesterday an opportunity in West Salem to listen to five students in the trades present their exit project as seniors. What a wonderful experience that they had hands-on training with a mentor. But again, it's a very expensive program to operate.
Yeah, Jerry, thanks a lot for calling. And Chad Lawler, Jerry's right, isn't he?
Oh, he is, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things why with our program, part of the reason why we're trying to raise the funds that we are is to put money into an endowment so it perpetually will pay for itself and the operating costs. Because, you know, we look at this as potentially being upwards of $1 million a year in operating costs. And that's something that I think it's also important to note that when the industry sees an issue that they can work with the schools, and that's what we've done with all the local school districts, the local universities, is those partnerships and working hand in hand. And I can't help but think, too, we talk about how this is the Idea Network. And, you know, this idea came from just one individual who was donating to the Boys and Girls Club, was a member of ours for 30 years, John McKenzie, and he just put the idea out there. And so many people have said, well, yeah, that makes sense. Why didn't you do that earlier? And it's like, well, you need that one person to have the idea. And 9 months ago, we were thinking about something very small and locally impactful, but probably not regionally or nationally. And as we continue to work with people and other partnerships, it's expanded, and you see the energy there. But it just starts with that one idea, and it could be anything. And, you know, we would say, you know, if there's a school out there, try to meet with your local industry and really push for some of these because, you know, from an industry perspective, we need to put our money and our time and our resources behind these efforts to really get the next generation of workforce into any generation what it is. And that's why I think this one's working so well, because you see the intent and the interest from the industry, and then you have a great partner like the Boys and Girls Club, which would be our traditional partner, but has worked so well in this type of workforce development.
Jerry, thanks again. Good, great points. Appreciate it very much. Luann in Madison will give you a chance. Hi, Luann.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, if a young person has a drug record, do they have any chance of getting into some of these construction programs?
So I can't speak to all programs. There are certainly some programs that they may have issues getting into, but if they were to reach out to an individual company, it's going to be something that may come up in their interview, but will not disqualify or eliminate them from the career. There are more specialized careers that they may not be able to get into. For instance, our program, I mean, we're not going to try to disqualify anybody for past indiscrepancies. Now, granted, we're working with middle school, high school students, but as we expand, we're also going to be trying to look at, young adults, second career opportunities for boot camps. And it's not one of those things where we're looking to eliminate people based on one or two indiscretions. So,
and the Madison Area Technical College does have a program for second chance students.
This is Operation Fresh Start.
Yes.
Too. Yep.
So, yes, there are opportunities out there to get that second chance once this opportunity in the trades is made known to them.
So, Luann, good question. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Eric in Lincoln County will give you an opportunity. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think these guys are doing a great job. I think this is something that we've lost over the past years, where everybody had to go to college to get a good job, and that's just not true. I got a college education, and I wound up being an aircraft mechanic. I had a good career. I made a lot of money, and if you try and find a carpenter up north here in Wisconsin, you're talking about a year and a half wait for any kind of project. I mean, all our politicians keep saying, "Hey, we need jobs," and I think there's plenty of jobs here, and these are the kind of jobs that Wisconsin should be targeting. I mean, these people could make good money. Like they said, you could make excellent money. You could have insurance and just live a comfortable life. And there's something to be said for the pride of doing something with your hands. I think the younger generation, even in my time, was kind of, kind of fooled into believing that everybody had to go to college to get a good job. And it's just not true. I commend their work, and I hope that I'll be able to get a carpenter within to do a project in less than a year.
So. There you go, Eric. Thanks a lot for calling. I was thinking about that, Chad. Right here in Madison, I mean, we could be building a lot more homes and doing a lot more remodeling than we are, but then you go to Lincoln County or Bayfield County maybe, or Barron County, some of those places where probably could really use the help as well.
I think the shortage is even more extreme in rural areas. Absolutely.
Yeah, and how do we reach, what do we do to reach those areas?
Well, the caller made the point that the demand for folks that do these things is out there, and so part of it is having the training and providing opportunities for young people and people maybe thinking about switching careers to get into the trades. And that's what this is all about, and why I was so excited to have these gentlemen on the program today, because that's really what often we haven't had, is the opportunity and the resources marshaled to allow folks that want to do this or who frankly sometimes don't realize that it is something that would be a great opportunity for them. And once someone realizes, wow, this is a way for me to do something that I love and enjoy and make a good living doing it, that's a powerful message and opportunity. And programs like this are going to make it possible for more individuals to follow that career path.
Lynn emailed. She works for the Wisconsin Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards, and they are doing their best to spread the word about the trades, especially women in the trades. She encourages anyone to check out their website for youth and adult information about how to access apprenticeship opportunities in any trade. It's WisconsinApprenticeship.org. So it's all one word, WisconsinApprenticeship.org. So, Lynn, thanks a lot for that email. And while we're at it, that just reminds me, how do we learn more about the program that's going on in Dane County? And frankly, you don't have to be from Dane County to be involved in this at all, or even if you're in Florence County, there may be things you can learn from going to the website. Chad Lawler, how do we learn more and get more information?
Yeah, so you can do one of two things. Either just Google McKenzie Regional Workforce Center or go to bgcdcbuilds.org. That's Boys and Girls Club, Dane County, Builds.org. So it's a great way to get some information on what we're doing with that project. And just to add to kind of what was just recently said about, you know, Florence or Adams or Bayfield counties, one of the things with this program is we understand that to really have an impact, it can't just be localized to Dane County. So we're going to videotape much of our curriculum. We're working with a company called On3 to create mobile and digital friendly curriculum that we're hoping to then be able to communicate out to other parts of the state, other parts of the country. So even if you don't have the resources or the wherewithal to have this larger program in your community, you may have this opportunity still to do some online learning, some mobile friendly learning, where it goes beyond just the awareness and more into the skill training.
Interestingly enough, James emailed that On3 is a Madison startup that has a library of construction education videos for 128 different types of tasks. Mm-hmm. Smartphone-based program helps people on the job when they have questions about tasks, James says. And, for example, how to construct a ledge on a footing for bricks. They go to the app, search the topic, and the video takes them through step by step.
The timing of that is perfect. I will say that it's a newer company, too, but they've made great strides. And one of their co-founders, Paul Cardis, has done a great job of really getting out there and promoting. At the National Association of Home Builders International Builders Show, On3 was actually given the Innovator of the Year Award for the vendors at the event. So they're really looking at different ways to truly change the way that construction is educated to people and what kind of training opportunities are there. I mean, we did a sit down and walked through with On3, and just the opportunity for somebody to be on a job site, be working on something, pull up their phone, find the exact instructions how to do something, and then actually, in an essence, FaceTime their supervisor to show them that they did the work, and then get credit for training, for advanced training as they move through things, do new projects. But yeah, it's a great opportunity, and you got to think that as we look at educating the youth, we have to educate them in not in the way that we were educated, but in the way that's most fundamentally best for them and the ways that they learn. And I think with most kids, and I can speak for my two, that phone in their hand is a great way to do it, especially in short snippets where it's 3 to 5 minute modules. It's the way that the brain works for many kids, and especially kids who are more tactile and want to learn about the skilled trade. So,
and we don't want transportation to be a barrier. We know it's an obstacle. The location on Verona Road in Fitchburg is a great location for Madison in this particular area. But as far as our strategic plan is concerned, transportation is in a part of our budget. And we want to have the resources to be able to provide transportation to kids in various counties that could have access to this facility. So fundraising is important. And we still need the support of the community financially. for issues like transportation, where we will have that online resource to provide, but nothing's going to replace actually being in this facility and getting the training firsthand.
How many children will you have the capacity for, or don't you know?
I think that's still in the works. We have our goals. So the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County represents about 7,000 kids. So we will say 7,000 children will be made aware of the construction industry on an annual basis. That I can guarantee you. That will be our main goal, is every component of programming that the Boys and Girls Club does, the skilled trades will be part of it. So I will answer with 7,000. Now, the ones being individually trained, our goal is to do at least 200 per year.
200 per year. Yep. All right. Alan Branch, inaugural Vice President of Workforce Development for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. Chad Lawler, Executive Director of the Madison Area Builders Association. And Chad Spate, owner of Chad's Design Build, our guest today. And we'll be programming right up until 12:30 with this topic. And you can join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Taking a look at home improvement on the program today and career opportunities related to it with our three guests. I'm Larry Mueller, by the way, and our guest, Alan Branch, inaugural Vice President of the Workforce Development for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. One of our guests, another, Chad Lawler, who is Executive Director of the Madison Area Builders Association, and Chad Spate, owner of Chad's Design Build. Questions, I hope you'll join in. Our comments, number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Certainly a shortage of skilled workers in trades like construction, plumbing, and so forth, a lot of different opportunities. And you may, you know, we haven't even taken a question, although there have been a few that have been calling with home improvement questions of their own, so maybe we'll take a minute or a few minutes to answer those home improvement questions as well. Chad's ready and willing to do that as well. Besides exposure to skilled trades, what else do you hope kids get out of the program?
Well, I think the big thing is some of those soft skills of teamwork, timeliness, as well as that financial literacy. It's, I think, a big thing, just having that opportunity from a third-party source, maybe not your teacher or your parent, or just to instill financial literacy, ensuring that every kid who comes to the program understands the value of savings, the value of compound interest. If they don't get into the skill trades, but they still understand, you know, how to use a tape measure, the math associated with it, how to safely, you know, do some of the work around their house, I think that's an important thing for people who haven't had that awareness in the past or those skills. So financial literacy is number one, general skills of soft skills, and then the third would be that more specific trade-related skills, but something that an individual can DIY themselves at home.
I think they also will have a certain relief. I mean, think about it. I mean, there's no other options. Mm-hmm. And not every kid wants to go to college. And it's pressure. I wasn't gung-ho about it.
Yeah.
I went, and it definitely benefited me. But I think it's just a great relief for them to know there are other options that they can explore.
Yeah, I like that thought as well. We'll take a call from Wenzel in just a minute here, but I know that you've been involved, Chad Lawler, in a number of different projects, and maybe you could comment on some of the other things you're doing.
Yeah, so I think from our perspective as an industry, it's important to work through as many avenues as possible. And obviously our partnership with the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, and all the partnerships associated with that is our core initiative when it comes to workforce development. But we really want to ensure that even outside of that partnership, we're engaging with students, with the youth, with schools. So yesterday we actually held our career day. It's our 8th annual career day. We had 240 middle school and high school students come from area high schools and middle schools to come to the Parade of Homes, where the homes are actually in the process of being completed, and see presentations on masonry, on kitchen design, plumbing, electrical, other components, just to get them out on the job site, see what it's really like, is one of our big things that we've done over the last few years. But we're actually working with the Madison Reading Project now to get books into the hands of kids that are construction related. So that awareness, that interest level, we've just started in the last week with this project, so nothing really dynamic at this point, but we are going to be funding some additional books to go into their buses over the summer that will be construction related, be it nonfiction, fiction books, just a variety to get that initial interest and awareness out there. So you can't just rest on the laurels of one project. We got to keep working. So,
well, we'll give Chad Speed a chance to use his training here. Wenzel and Amherst, go ahead with your question.
I have an old house, and there's a couple rooms that have a sort of a low attic that I got full of storage, and I have a little insulation up there. But then I'm thinking, and it's, you know, got a ridge vent and everything. But then I was wondering if I could put like 1-inch styrofoam board right on that ceiling, you know, screw it in and then put drywall over the top of that to give myself a little more insulation without, you know, working from the attic. What do you think of that?
Sure. So if I understand the question, you're wanting to better insulate the attic space and make it a little bit more comfortable. And so whenever we're looking at a situation like this in a home, the important thing is that you have what's called the building envelope, where you have the end of the heated space or conditioned space, and beyond that, typically it's ventilated in some manner. So it sounds like, of course, without seeing it's a little difficult, but it sounds like provided that you have a continuous insulation layer that is properly air sealed, that sounds like that could help to make that a more comfortable space. You know, keeping in mind that you want to continue to allow that ventilation system to work, and you know, how well all the different surfaces are connected will be critical, because insulation is one thing and air sealing is another, and they work hand in hand to provide you with a comfortable and safe environment. So,
yeah,
good luck with that project.
Yeah, Wenzel, thanks very much for calling. You know, as I was hearing you talk, I was thinking, oh, this is a kind of fun problem solving kind of job that, you know, Chad finds himself in, Alan, that that I think would be exciting for people.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's always, and most folks involved in the trades always says that something that they appreciate most is what they accomplished, you know, what they built. And I was with John McKenzie, Chad and I, just earlier this morning, and we were talking with the folks, and that's what he said. He can look back and see the work of his hands, and it's something to be proud of.
And too, and I think it's a great opportunity and learning experience for problem solving. I mean, you even look at as a youth playing with Legos or now Minecraft for the current generation. It gives you that opportunity for spatial awareness and problem solving and what thinking ahead and planning for what's next in the process. And I think that's some of the skills that you can gain through the skilled trades, even if it's not the career you end up in. It's, you know, the type of thing that will help you develop as an individual regardless.
Let's go to Lou in Ashland. Lou, hi. Thanks for calling.
Wonderful subject, you guys. And I'm going to have my 17-year-old listen with me on the rebroadcast. He wants to go in the trades. But I'm wondering about the portion of the attic of my house needs to be cleaned as far as all the activity of mice or bats. So it's usable space, but it needs to, you know, all that insulation and everything, it needs to be cleaned properly. And it's, you know, kind of, you know, it's something where you wouldn't just go in and do it without a mask or anything. So who would I reach out to?
So thanks for the call, Lou. You know, the we always have to be concerned when we're digging into a home about the potential for hazardous materials. And so, for example, if there's vermiculite insulation up in the attic, you know, that often contains asbestos in it, and we just assume that it's asbestos, and that needs to be removed, should be removed most safely by a qualified mitigation company. It is possible for a homeowner that does a lot of education and then invest in the proper equipment to do it. And I know of some people in the Madison area that have taken it on as a personal project, but I personally, being in the business, would not take on that risk myself. But if it is more traditional materials, if there's cellulose or fiberglass up there, you know, then you just have to be worried about the, you know, guano or the, you know, the other hazards that would come with, you know, the rodents that have been up there. So in that case, definitely you're going to want a high quality respirator, and you're probably going to want to pick up a Tyvek suit or something to be able to completely isolate yourself if you're involved in that removal.
But if she wants just somebody else to do it, again, where would she go?
I would reach out. I would look first for a someone that can deal with the hazardous material, so asbestos mitigation. Companies like that will be able to assess the level of threat and let her know, you know, what it would take to get it done.
Yeah, Lou, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Kel in Sugar Camp wondered if you have partnered with Habitat for Humanity in any way. Alan, maybe you want to comment on that?
Absolutely. They are going to be a big partner of ours. And the way we see it is they build homes. And we're going to use our partnership with Habitat for Humanity as a training opportunity for our students. They'll be able to go on site and work with Habitat and Humanity and really experience what it's like to build a home in a real world situation. So, yes.
Yeah, man, talk about great hands on and benefit to both sides.
Yes.
For sure, for sure. Donna emailed to ask how you would recommend that a graduating senior get some experience so he knows which apprenticeship program to apply for, since there are specific apprenticeships, you know, for each field, like electrician or carpenter or mason or so forth. So what should a graduating senior, and I assume from a high school senior here, how do they get experience so they know where to go?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest issues that we're trying to overcome, because there's awareness of just the industry as a whole, and then there's awareness of what all 17 trades do and where you fit in and what your interests are. So hopefully we'll fix that issue going forward for the participants in our program. As far as a graduating senior this year, I would reach out to the different trades. Reach out to your local home builder, your local remodeler, local commercial. You can usually do some job shadowing and get an idea what it is. If you have a home builders association in your area, reach out to them. They'll be able to set you up with a job shadowing opportunity too. A lot of it is truly getting an idea of of what you want to work on, considering, do you want to be indoors, outdoors? Do you want to be working in, you know, plumbing comes with certain aspects, drywall has other aspects, and just trying to figure out what fits. But doing some job shadowing, getting on sites, that's always helpful. And if you do it with a remodeler or a residential builder, you'll usually get to see multiple of the different trades within a build or in a remodel, and that'd be a great opportunity to see, like, okay, this individual did this work, this component of the home or the remodel, and that's where you can kind of get a broader idea right off the bat. But it will take a little personal research to get an idea of what works best. We have a website through our association where we took several videos of different trades and then did an entire build. So it's WIBuildsMadison.com. We build Madison. And it actually talks about some of the different trades that are in there. So, in just trying to give the idea that they're 5-minute snippets, so they don't go into a great deal, but they can give you an idea of what additional educational components, what's a normal day, and things of that nature.
So it's, run that by me again, that site.
WeBuildMadison.com, but it's WIBuildsMadison.com.
WIBuildsMadison.com. So there you go, Donna. A good starting place. And I suppose also there's probably jobs out there right now where you could just get in there someplace.
Right, absolutely. There's several labor jobs. And one thing that I would note, and one of the things that most builders will have you do, is you'll start on a job and you'll end up doing much of what is the grunt work. You'll be moving lumber, you'll be cleaning up the job sites. And some individuals don't like that for the first 2-3 weeks. They find it boring below them. But in reality, what it is, it's a test to teach, to find out if they're willing to come back the next day, if they're willing to do the hard work before the contractor goes into an extensive amount of training. But it's also that opportunity for them to see what's happening. Because if you're only like, okay, well, we're doing framing today and all you're going to do is put sheathing on the wall, that's all you know for the first 2 weeks. You might not even enjoy it, and then you leave, versus getting to see the full build is a great way.
Yeah. Heather in Madison, let's go to you. Heather, thanks for calling.
Hi, my name is Heather, and I just wanted to put a plug in for sewing and manufacturing as a skilled trade. I own a small drapery workroom, and we are always looking for seamstresses.
Man,
that's great,
Heather. Thanks for calling. Well, and that—I don't know if that finds its way into the building trades or not, Chad.
Well, I think it's one of those things when you look at it. We talked about it earlier. A lot of these skills are transferable to manufacturing, to trucking, and the construction industry is such a broad industry. I mean, she said drapery. And that's a component of home. It's interior design is a part of home building. So it's certainly something that's of interest. And I will say that if you go into the military, you learn to sew. So obviously there's probably a reason. It's a good life skill to have regardless. So,
and I want to ask you guys, all of you, how you got involved in your work. Chad, you've been with the Madison Area Builders Association for, what, 6 years now?
Correct, yeah.
What was your background, and how did you wind up where you are?
Yeah, so I was an attorney and a contract lobbyist and worked on several different client issues. And then there was an opportunity to join the Builders Association as the Director of Government Affairs. And I had known a bunch of people who had done it. I knew the prior director of government affairs and applied. And 43 hours later, they hired me. And, you know, as they say, here we are.
There you are. Well, Alan, what about you?
I worked pretty much my whole career in the manufacturing industry.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, printing trades, packaging. But I'm a YMCA kid, though, really.
Yeah,
I grew up in underserved community in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. No haters out there. and philanthropy changed my life. You know, philanthropy changed my life. People sewed into my life. And if it wasn't for their caring about others, I wouldn't be on this radio show talking with you folks today. So this is an opportunity for me to return the favor. And I really think this program, and I've been here for 6 months. I'm originally from the Cincinnati area. I met Michael when he was in Cincinnati. I worked at that time at the United Way of Greater Cincinnati. It's one of the largest United Ways in the country. I was doing fine there. Michael remembered the relationship and presented this opportunity to me. And I don't think there was nothing else I would have been able to be involved with that's going to have the most impact on people than I think this opportunity will. And that's why I'm here.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great, great, great opportunity. Chad, we'll pipe in with you. You've had, I mean, here you were working on a PhD at one point.
That's correct. Yep, I was a history major and a history teacher for a while, and I moved to Madison to get a PhD in history, and I started remodeling homes to make a little money while I was a graduate student. And well, then my first child was coming, and I thought, I could always go back to graduate school. I think I like this remodeling gig. So, you know, the rest is history. It's our 30th year as a remodeling company in Madison.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and you've been with the show for a long time, too. Oh, my God.
I have. I think 2006 was when I started. So half my career.
Here. Well, let's go back. I want to, here in our last minute, let people know how they can learn more about the McKenzie Regional Workforce Center and how they can get their own children or grandchildren or whatever, whoever involved. Where do we go for more information again?
Yeah, so the website, again, it's for the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. So it's bgcdcbuilds.org. Otherwise, if you just Google McKenzie Regional Workforce Center, that'll get you right to that webpage, too. And if anybody has interest or they know somebody who would have interest in learning more about this project, our group is more than happy to come by. We've given this speech in 5 minutes, and we've given it in about 90. So we can tailor the needs to what everybody has, but we're really energized to get out there and just talk about what this opportunity is for the youth in Dane County and beyond.
Well, it's been a great pleasure. I want to thank all three of you for being with us today. And it sounds like a wonderful project, and we'll have to keep you up to. You'll have to keep us up to date on it.
Sure.
Let's check progress down the road. Thank you all so much, Alan Branch, inaugural Vice President of Workforce Development for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. Chad Lawler is the executive director of the Madison Area Builders Association. And, of course, Chad Spate, as by every couple of months, is the owner of Chad's Design Build of Monona and Madison. And, by the way, full disclosure, Chad's Build is one of WPR's many business sponsors as well. So appreciate that, too. And, hey, tomorrow it's Friday. That means Garden Talk. VJ Pandian will be on to talk about companion plantings. But now, stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mehler.